Welcome to the spirit world, answering your questions on angels, demons, and how the spiritual and physical worlds interact. And now your hosts, Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the spirit world. I am Debbie Giorgiani with my co-host, Adam Bly, religious demonologist, on this live edition on Holy Saturday. We're calling it the Silence of the Tomb. That's right. We are live today on this beautiful Holy Saturday. We would love for you to call in. We'll tell you in a moment how you can participate in this broadcast. But we always, Adam, begin with the St. Michael prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Okay, we are going to be talking about this day of great silence, this day of great stillness today on Holy Saturday. But we do want you to reflect on this as well with us in your own life, in your own spiritual life. So if there's something that you are trying to wrap your head around, if you're trying to, you know, work through something that has transpired for you during this Holy Week, during this Triduum, please, we're asking you to call in and share what this liturgical season, the Triduum, means to you, and what this special day of great silence means to you. So please call us. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. We do want to hear from you. Here's the number. We've got Carol and Lori on the phones. We are live today on Holy Saturday. A lot of shows are recorded because they are with their families, and we understand that. But Adam and I try to go live every single chance we can. We are offered and we can get, because we believe that you have things to say. So dial in 877-757-9424. That's 877-757-9424. And we have Carol and Lori standing by, and you can chat with them and we can bring you on air. But Adam, you know, we both decided when we were prepping for this show that we wanted to go into the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and we wanted to really talk about paragraphs 625 all the way to 637, which we would encourage our listeners. This is the perfect day to read these paragraphs. It'll probably take you maybe 20 minutes if you're just trying to really digest it and bring it into your own understanding. But it's an important set of paragraphs for you to really contemplate, meditate on this special time when Christ in the tomb in his body. And that's where it starts, at paragraph 625. So Adam, where would you like to begin? And I know that you also have a link that you want to have our wonderful producer, Tim, put in the show notes.
Yeah, there'll be a link there to, there's an online version of the Catechism here in the United States that the USCCB provides. It is in English, but I'm sure for our listeners who primarily read other languages, you can find it locally if you do a search for Catechism of the Catholic Church. But there's a link there to get you to the pages that we're looking at, because, you know, this is somewhat deep and somewhat complicated, and there's not enough time in a brief, you know, call-in show to really do it justice and not leave people confused on something or other. It's something worth meditating on. But I did, you know, just want to say, Deb, like, this moment, at least for me, it's kind of like a pause after Lent and after leading up to the Passion and the Crucifixion. To me, feels like a very tense and extremely busy time. And this is kind of like a quiet moment before Easter, where you're kind of not in a bad way, but kind of in free fall, like suddenly everything goes silent and there's a moment to breathe and take a breath and then, you know, enter into Easter and the resurrection. And I think it's a time that we shouldn't just like dismiss or say, okay, well, now I can rest and do other things until, you know, Easter Mass, whether you're going to vigil or going on Sunday. It's a time to at least for me, it's a time to think about mortality and about the body. You know, the passion so intensely brings us to an awareness of Jesus's body and the physicality of it and the difficulty, you know, that comes with having a body and this part of our existence. Yes, it's a great blessing. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, as sin entered the world and death and decay entered the world and disease entered the world with original sin, you know, it just brings to mind, you know, sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is freeing us from that and providing a way for us to solve this problem that's like, you know, from a biological perspective, the unsolvable problem, mortality.
Right.
And so, you know, there's just so many spiritual layers to this. It's deep, and it's worth taking, you know, some time to read the catechism today on these things, because it is theologically rich, and it's powerful. It's just powerful. And I think it'll help you have a better Easter in the sense of really feeling it and getting the most out of it.
I completely agree. And that's why for easy access, we put the online link right in the show notes of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And please just highlight and read paragraphs 625 through 637. Okay. Do it with your family and go line by line. It's really, Adam and I, we read that before the show and we felt it was just, it's going to be so helpful for you to kind of get into that mood, that spirit, and really, really just of sincere contemplation in silence and in stillness. That is the perfect way to describe this day. So don't start celebrating yet. You know, feel that anticipation. Feel that, you know, go deep in that understanding. By the way, folks, just to remind everyone, next Saturday, Adam and I will be live again for Divine Mercy. We're going to be talking all about coming up on Divine Mercy Sunday. And don't forget that yesterday started the Divine Mercy Novena. Okay, so if you missed it, start today. Okay, that's another great devotion to pick up today for beginning on Holy Saturday, even though it started yesterday. So it's very important, very powerful. So we wanted to remind everybody. But as I'm saying that, I'm looking over at the phones, Adam, and they're lighting up. So our listeners are very much into the same kind of spirit as we are, going deep and really staying in that beautiful, beautiful place of silence. Why? Because that's where God can speak to you in the really soft, subtle ways. And that's a wonderful thing. Don't miss this day. I think sometimes because I'm talking about all of us, we rush to move forward as fast as we can, right? So I bet you there's people right now shopping for tomorrow and getting ready for the Easter egg hunts and doing all sorts of things because you're thinking, oh, I've got a free day. But use this day wisely to spiritually enhance this beautiful season of the Triduum. So the Silence of the Tomb, that's what we're titling it today. We are live. Phone lines are lighting up. We will get to Christopher when we come back from the first break. And the number to dial if you have something to say about this, maybe something very profound, spiritually profound has happened to you during this Holy Week. Would you consider sharing it with us? 877-757-9424. That's 877-757-9424. And Adam, please wave to everyone that's already on with the chats on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, and Twitch. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for keeping the conversations going. Adam, would you like to share something about your Holy Week and your personal journey at all, if it could relate to something that we can learn and grow? I can tell you something that happened to me this Holy Week, which was very profound, but I'd love to hear from you.
Well, this, like other years, was really a time for getting in touch with the Passion, the Stations of the Cross, the Passion story. For some reason this year, it, for me, you know, God works with you different ways and you learn different things each year that you walk through the liturgical year. But it was really, just a time to get in touch with. It's so hard to say, and I don't, you know, it's not a negative thing, but just the seriousness of sin. That the embodiment of sin, to see it in the form of that suffering, mm-hmm. and to see that the penalty of sin, you know, that he's bearing for us is so awful. And I'm, you know, where I go to emotionally is, and in my prayer life, you know, I know I wasn't there, right? I wasn't the Adam in the garden, but I say, I'm sorry that you had to do this for us. I appreciate that you did. And I know you did it out of love and you would have done it for each one of us, but I'm sorry that you had to do that now. So that's kind of like the humanity side of things, the loneliness that he went through, the isolation, the being everything, you know, all the support being pulled away from him, his mother, his friends, you know, any relatives that he had in the world, everything pulled away and replaced by that cruelty. And so I hope the fruit of that is to do better with sin this year, you know, to do better in fighting temptation. Because with temptation, at least for me, like, it's easy to let your mind go to, oh, I want to do that, right?
Right.
Or that would be fun, or, oh, you know, I'll just do it, and, you know, and to take a moment and think about the penalty of sin and the reality of sin. Like, we don't like to think about the consequences tomorrow, right? So we make impulsive choices.
That's very true.
And we don't really say, like, oh, that was dumb, I'm not going to do that again, until tomorrow or whenever we start feeling the consequences. So the image of that consequence of sin, I'm hoping will be fruitful for me this year.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing. And I have just a tiny bit to share when we come back from the break, but we're going to get right away to Christopher, a first-time caller. As a matter of fact, we have a couple first-time callers. That is wonderful. There's room for you. We are live today on Holy Saturday, the silence of the tomb. That's what we're talking about. How does that relate to your spiritual journey? Here is the number. Please call us, 877-757-9424, 877-757-9424. And if you have a longer story, you can always email us, tsw@grnonline.com. We'll be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 4th. Today we celebrate Saint Isidore of Seville. Some people manage to thrive under difficult conditions. Today's saint is one of those people. Born in mid-6th century Spain, Isidore received a fine education at the hands of his brother. Years later, Isidore became known as the schoolmaster of the Middle Ages. He is also known for his contributions to the church and culture of Spain in a period of great conflict. The Visigoths had invaded Spain 150 years earlier and established their own capital. Though Christian, they followed the heresy of Arianism, which denied the divinity of Christ. Isidore converted many of the Visigoths and made Spain a center of culture and learning. As Archbishop of Seville, he strengthened the seminary system and founded schools that taught every branch of learning. His own writings were voluminous, including a history of the world. Devoted to the poor throughout his life, Isidore increased his charities as he aged. He prepared for his death by giving away all his possessions. In his final months, his house was filled from morning till night with poor people seeking his help. He died in 636. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
The silence of the tomb on this holy Saturday. That's what we're discussing today on The Spirit World. We do welcome your calls today. We are live. Christopher, hang on. Don't go anywhere. I just wanted to share a couple things. Here's the number if you'd like to get in on the discussion and the conversation, 877-757-9424. Just an interesting fun fact about St. Isidore of Seville. I love this this saint, and I love this particular day that it is the feast day of St. Isidore of Seville. You may or may not realize this. St. Isidore of Seville is the patron saint of the internet, computers, and computer users. So we are using the internet a lot, and he was big on education. We're trying to do that with the solid catechesis here on the Spirit World. And so St. Isidore of Seville, pray for us. I love that, Adam. And real quickly, I just wanted to share in my own personal journey during Lent, because everybody's heard me say this many years, Adam, that I've been on radio, that Lent and I just don't get along. We just don't. Mm. It's just, I don't know what it is. It just, ever since I've been in full-time ministry, it's been very difficult. And but I took on the challenge that Bishop Joseph Coffey, a friend of ours, he issued to me personally and said, Debbie, you need to reframe this. You need to look at this differently this Lent. And I said, okay, Bishop, I will do that. And it was going okay. Lent was going okay. But Holy Week came and it was like a roller coaster. And but I had a huge transformative aha experience in my own spiritual growth, in my own spiritual journey, that it was amazing. I've never experienced anything like it. And I'm still trying to process it. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what it means. But it was incredible. So I can't wait till after, you know, all the priests, you know, get their time off after Easter. I'm going to definitely, send an email to Bishop Coffey and say, you were right. I did what you told me to do. I entered into it deeply, and it was an incredible experience that I hope lasts for the rest of my life. So, yeah, it's amazing. So we shared. Now we want to hear from our wonderful Spirit World listeners what you have to say. So, Adam, ready to go to the calls?
Absolutely.
Okay, first-time caller Christopher from Toronto, Canada, is waiting so patiently, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Christopher. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Go right ahead.
Excellent. So thank you for the opportunity to call in today. The last number of months have been particularly challenging in my marriage, and a lot of, I guess, pain and sorrow that I've been working through and really struggling with that, and kind of offering my prayers and being a bit more intense with my prayers, specifically through Lent. And during yesterday, I said the Sorrowful Mysteries, and during those Sorrowful Mysteries, I haven't really ever offered up my suffering for others before. And I kind of just offered it up to other people that are in similar situations or may have committed challenges to cause issues in relationships. And it, you know, didn't go away, but there was some comfort that I felt there. And then at Good Friday Mass, I seemed to feel the humility of Christ. The words seemed to resonate with me a little bit more. And after Mass, I said the rosary and the sorrowful pieces. And I had tried to put myself in those moments. And yesterday, when I was in the second, you know, in the scourging, I kind of physically just saw my heart, which is troubled. And I just felt that so much. And at the crowning of the thorns, it was my negative thoughts and just kind of permeating into my head. And then as I was visualizing the cross, out of nowhere, my cross was made up what I saw as all my mistakes, my challenges, my issues. And I'm bringing this towards God. And he touches my heart. And the cross is illuminated, and it seems to be redeemed. And the interesting part as I was kind of coming out of this was, as I'm seeing myself, kind of the crucifixion, myself being put on that cross, my natural inclination is to visualize the people that maybe I have that anger towards or that I see as the perpetrators for my pain. And they were there. And then as I focused on that in a glimpse, they were removed, and it was evil. It was Satan. It was the enemy that really was in these people that I felt was causing me these challenges. And so that was kind of my experience going through that. And where it's left me is I'm facing some really challenging decisions. I've been really discerning on something, and I'm really battling with having that same type of humility in making decisions that are maybe more trusting in God and His will, and almost, really kind of going in on believing in God versus what might be, hey, this makes the most sense. This is logical. This is what you should do. This is how you protect yourself, versus my heart is calling me to do something different. So that was kind of my experience. I wasn't sure how it was going to come out, but that's what I got for you today.
Oh, great, Christopher. I think it came out well. I think that's an example of, it reminds me of the spiritual exercises from St. Ignatius Loyola, where you kind of meditate on and enter into the stories and place yourself in those stories in order to get in touch with them. But what you're describing there is kind of a beautiful example of how God applies all of these things to us personally and to where we are in our life and uses them to help us work through them. I guess, my one thought, Christopher, because, there's limited time here on the radio, would be before making any big decisions about your family or what you're doing or how you're going to deal with people that might be negative and attacking you, before you do anything dramatic, I know it's hard to get time with your priest in a lot of parishes, but maybe ask after Easter's over and give them a couple days to recover because they're exhausted. I would sit down with your priest and say, I'm praying about this. I've been thinking about it. I think God wants me to do this. And I would check in with somebody outside of yourself just in case imagination or your own psychology. Sometimes we run with things and we misunderstand them. And I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm just saying.
No, I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're talking about family stuff. So before making a big decision, I would check in with the priest about what you're discerning. What do you think, Deb?
Absolutely. Adam is spot on, Christopher. As you were speaking, I kept thinking to myself, do you have a really good, solid support system around you? And I would also just even more than one person, ask a few people that you absolutely trust, that are solid in the faith, that know how to really share proper discernment when you're about to make some life decisions, because you want to take that all into consideration. I've been a life coach for over 20 years, and we used to see this all the time where people will rush into a decision about their life because it, like you said, it's either logically it makes sense or, this is what will work. And they don't see 7 or 10 steps down the road. But somebody on the outside, Christopher, that is really in tune with the spirit, that is in living a good spiritual life, right? That is hopefully in a state of grace, can really help you process some of that out so that you can make the best decision for you and your family. I'm sure you probably have a support system, but I just would encourage everyone, in fact, anyone that's listening, if you're making a major life decision, get a team around you. That's one of the reasons why I started life coaching with Stand Tall, is because I wanted to have coaches around me that I could call at a moment's notice to be able to bounce things off of. It is so important. I agree 1,000% with Adam on this. What do you say, Christopher?
No, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And yeah, you're right. It's a busy time for everybody because I have looked to engage, but I'll be sure to follow up. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll be praying for you and keep us posted. You were a first time caller. We always want to journey with everyone that's part of the Spirit World family. So if you want to check in with us, we would love that. Okay.
Absolutely. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you as well. Okay, we're going to get to Lisa, another first-time caller, Adam. And Lisa's in Pennsylvania listening online on EWTN. Lisa, I always do this. Why don't you pronounce your city? Pronounce your town, please.
Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Wilkes-Barre, that's what I thought. Okay, I was going to say it. I should have given it a try. Okay, go right ahead, Lisa.
Yeah, people do have a tendency to ruin that name sometimes.
Go right ahead.
Also, we say, it was funny because your call is from Texas, and I said, we say PA, we don't even say Pennsylvania. Like, you know, the people who aren't, because they say the whole state's name,
right.
We say PA.
Right, right. Yeah. I know. I'm from New Jersey. I would have done that, but I have to appeal to the whole entire world because it's an international show.
Yeah,
okay. You go right ahead, Lisa.
So this might be a little bit long. I've been on a spiritual journey about humility for years now, and this kind of goes back to what the caller before was just saying. I can't remember exactly the last part. He said something about fear something. And God put it on my heart to pray the litany of humility all in. Like, there's a song, so I've just been playing this song. And I was doing it with the station. And I had asked years ago, like, why stations? Like, why such a public thing? And then it dawned on me, because the purpose of Rome doing it was abject humiliation, was to totally humiliate the person being crucified, because they were naked, you know, depending how they crucified them, you know, they were almost spread eagles. Like, they show, like, Christ with the feet together, but I was just watching where they said sometimes they would do it with the feet nailed to the side and only 2 feet off the ground. So, like, you would see their privates totally naked, anybody walking in or out of the city. And if you ever read Luisa Picaretta's book, The 24-Hour Passion, in that, Jesus took Luisa with him and said, I'm atoning for this sin. Through every punch, blow, scourging, crowning, every little thing that happened to him, he said, I'm atoning for this sin. I'm atoning for this sin. I'm atoning for that sin. So it dawned on me while I was, like, listening to the litany of humility that it's been said, I've heard other people say it too, that, like, pride is the rain that waters all seeds of pride, or all sins. So without pride, you know, you wouldn't have adultery and stealing and everything else. Because, like, oh, well, I deserve that. I want it. I don't care if I'm not supposed to have it. Pride's the one that says, go get it, because I deserve it. And without pride, the rest of the seeds of sin don't grow. So the physical pain was for individual sins, but the humiliation part was conquering the king of all sins, the rainwater that waters all sin, pride.
So, yeah, thank you for calling, Lisa. And yeah, these reflections on the Passion, there's so many different private revelations, like the one you're referencing, from different people, you know, at different stages of you know, perhaps being recognized by the church. And so when we see a private revelation that really resonates for us at whatever season of life we're in, yeah, God can bring, you know, something out of that and some insight out of that. And it sounds like for you at this point in your life, that contrast between pride and humility is really strong for you. And that's the way God's working with you, you know, at these moments. But yeah, pride is considered kind of the basis of sin. It's the biggest of the cardinal sins. And of course, because it goes back to the pride of the devil and at the original rebellion. But yeah, it's deep, Lisa. What do you think about these private revelations, Deb?
Well, yeah, I would just caution folks on to be. I'm not that you're doing this, Lisa, but just in general, and maybe we should do a whole show on private revelation of various mystics and those that are approved and some that are still, you know, they're watching and things of that nature. If you read these accounts, everyone has a different a different experience of their relationship with Jesus. And it can be very beneficial, but I would be careful to bring it into, sometimes bringing it into your own spiritual understanding as a truth, first and foremost, until the church, you know, recognizes it. So if the church recognizes it, then it becomes more credible. But also, I would also say that, so if it's still out there and it's still being processed and people are still looking into is if this is accurate, if it's totally accurate, did they really experience this? I would bring it in, but in a way that it doesn't actually overwhelm you or make you feel like that is absolute, because I have seen people who have actually taken information from private revelation and they have taken it to the point where they will go out there and they will say, well, this is gospel, this is the truth, you know, and that's, you don't have to believe that to be a good and faithful Catholic. So what I would also do is ask God to reveal to you, like he is doing, Lisa, what it means for you and your journey and how you understand true humility, how you understand surrendering and really avoiding all sin and removing those obstacles and really not going down that slippery slope. So wouldn't you say, Adam, I mean, private revelation is great. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we love private revelation. Look at Divine Mercy. Look at all, I mean, but when the church recognizes it and says, yes, this is beautiful and good for the faithful, then great. But sometimes I think people's individual experiences with Jesus sometimes can make us feel like that's how it has to be. And mm-hmm. I think we have to be careful with that. What do you say real quickly before we go back to Lisa's final comments?
Oh, yeah. Like even saints like Padre Pio, right? One of the most famous saints ever. Just because he said something doesn't mean it's true, right? The private revelations of our greatest saints, we're not required to believe any of them, right? So unless it's a formal church teaching,
correct,
we're not required to believe it. It is additional stuff that could be useful to us in our journey once the church approves that person and their writings, of course.
Right.
But yeah, you just, this is why spiritual direction can be so wonderful to have.
Correct.
Because as we incorporate a particular person's private experience of Jesus, we want to make sure it maps onto us in a healthy way and it doesn't cause, you know, anxiety or anything like that.
Right.
And Lisa, we're not beating up on you at all. You're just sparking this issue of private revelation versus public revelation, which it can be important in this season because a lot of people are turning and looking at Jesus and looking at Easter and thinking about the faith again, perhaps, mm-hmm. you know, during this week.
What do you say, Lisa? Did we kind of shape that in a way that just could maybe appeal to the whole world who's possibly listening today?
Well, her writings are, but also to the other thing on humility that was, because after like that, the other part that I got was like, okay, so what is humility? Because I was kind of like, you always think like the humble person would be like the person in the corner, the quiet person, you know, maybe the person that makes the team, but doesn't, you know, isn't the top, you know, person. Mm-hmm. And then God was showing me, because again, when you read the litany of humility, the first part of it is save me from the desire of, or deliver me from the desire of. The second half of it is deliver me from the fear of.
Right.
And this is a little bit side, well, the image I got when I was trying to figure it out was mm-hmm. like an ice skater, like a figure skater in the Olympics, how, like, you know, if they do this, you know, triple backflip or whatever, they will have the gold. And they do it perfectly, but, you know, their skate hits a bump on the ice when they come down and they fall. Mm-hmm. And they get right back up and they just keep going like nothing ever happened. And that always, like, how could you do that? Like, if that happened to me, I would be this crying mess, you know, in the middle of the ice, and I wouldn't even be able to finish it. And God showed me that's humility. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. they're not so desirous of the gold medal that they can't go on. They're not fear of, you know, being calumniated and rebuked and humiliated. So they don't care what the other people are. They're in the moment doing what God gave them the talent and gifts to do, doing it. They're not worrying about anything else but what God gifted them to do in this moment to do. And that's how they can get up and, you know, finish the performance and maybe get second place, or maybe the next guy falls and they do get the gold. And that just blew my mind, because I would have thought that was pride. But it's like, no, that's humility, and humility makes you strong, not weak.
Well, you know, the litany of humility, it's very, very powerful, and it's very deep, and it takes a lot, and it takes a lot of effort, and it takes a lot of intention, and you really have to be in a really good place. And Lisa, it sounds like you're there. You're trying to dive deep into that, and that is amazing. And we so appreciate your comments and your being a first-time caller. You hear the music. We're going to have to take that second and last break. I just wanted to say, though, Lisa, you did spark a lot of comments and curious thought on private revelation. We'll address that in a general way, but we'll actually dedicate a whole episode to it so we can kind of shape that for all of our listeners in a solid catechetical way. So Lisa, thank you so much. You were a first-time caller. Please call us again. Bob on Facebook, thank you so much. You said my passion is contagious. Thank you, Bob. That's very sweet. You good to hear Adam back on the air. Yes, absolutely. We try to get Adam on the air, and every single time we can fit into his schedule. So that's wonderful. Okay, folks, stay with us. When we come back, we're going to get to Anne, another first-time caller, Annie, and Connie when we come back.
The month of April is dedicated to the Most Holy Eucharist. I adore you, Jesus, true God and true man, present in the Holy Eucharist. Kneeling before you and united in spirit with all the faithful on earth and all the saints in heaven, in gratitude for so great a blessing. I love you with all my heart, for you are worthy of all praise and adoration. Lord Jesus Christ, may I never offend you with my lack of love. May your Eucharistic presence refresh me in body and soul. Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, pray for us and obtain for us a greater love for Jesus. Amen.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders from EWTN's Called to Communion. I want to let you know that I've joined the staff at Stand Tall Life Coaching. If you're struggling to put the Catholic faith into practice because of habitual sin, family or relationship problems, or other personal or theological issues, I'm offering help. Reach out to me at my website, drdavidanders.com, or at standtalltoday.com.
Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
We are back. No more breaks. We're going to try to go as fast as we possibly can on this Holy Saturday, even though we're trying to get to a stillness, a silence. We're going to go as fast as we can and get back to the calls. Just real quickly, Lisa, thank you so much. We had our senior producer put on the calendar that we are going to tackle private revelation because And just to kind of, Adam, make sure I get this correct, just a general statement. You have public revelation, you have private revelation. That, and the private revelation is our devotions like Fatima, Lourdes, anything that that comes from canonized saints, right? And their mystical encounters with God, right? It's a private revelation, or anything that any mystic that is approved by the church. The church declares a lot of these apparitions, a lot of these mystical encounters as worthy of belief, quote unquote, worthy of belief. But it doesn't mean you are required as a good and faithful Catholic to believe them. So that's why when people introduce them into a conversation, you have to clarify, you have to be very clear what is gospel, what is truth, and what is private revelation. So please just understand that we love all these mystical encounters. We love all these devotions. We love these apparitions. We love all of it. Most all of it. Some of it is a little bit out there, I'll be honest with you. But it's you have to understand it as a good and faithful Catholic and what that means for you in your own spiritual journey. Adam, any comments on that real quickly before we go back to the phones?
Yeah, just, when we say approved canonically, when the church says something's approved, it doesn't mean that it's true. When the church says something's approved, what that means is somebody looked at it, somebody that had the ability to study it, you know, they had the qualifications to study it, and determined that it doesn't contradict Scripture or church teaching. It doesn't mean that it's true. It just means it wasn't found to contradict Scripture or the church teaching. And so I think that word approved, we can get tripped up with it sometimes.
Right.
You know, there's the canonical versus the common use of it.
Right. For instance, Fatima, right? Mm-hmm. The church has said that it's worthy of belief. Right. So if you enter into that, that is great. That is fabulous. And hopefully it'll enhance your spiritual journey, make you grow deeper, closer to the Blessed Mother, you know, and all that, which is wonderful. But it's not a required aspect of being a good and faithful card carrying Catholic. Correct.
Right. Right.
Okay.
And worthy of belief is really a step beyond approved. So if the church says, you know, if there's an encouragement, even a subtle encouragement like, oh, it can be really fruitful, you know, to make the pilgrimage to Fatima. There can be these encouragements from the church and usually from a pope, but that still doesn't mean you're required to believe it. So there's approved, which is usually done by the local bishop, and that means we study it to make sure it doesn't contradict teaching.
Correct.
Or Scripture. And then there can be worthy of belief, which is kind of like an encouragement. Like, not only does it not contradict things, but we find it to be fruitful. But you still don't have to believe it.
Right. Okay. We'll go through that on a dedicated episode. Let's go back to the phones quickly. We're going to run out of time. Anne, a first-time caller from Massachusetts listening on the Station of the Cross. Anne, I'm going to let you announce your city, please.
Yes, Haverhill, Massachusetts.
Haverhill. Okay, thank you so very much. You go right ahead, Anne.
I'm not a scholar on this, but I had an interest in this just from kind of being devoted to Our Lady. And I had seen in my years, I've seen certain churches that honor the tomb of Jesus today. They have the church with the tomb and flowers around it. And I always wondered, I never knew a lot about that. And as time has gone on, I just did some searching and I found that there used to be, I think there is still a Byzantine tradition today, although I don't know the liturgy of it. It's not like a, you know, the kind of liturgy we're talking about, because there's no official liturgy today, so it's be a different kind of word. I shouldn't use that word, but it's something that has been in the Byzantine tradition, that today there is what's called the Hour of the Mother. And I was reading about it on this Catholic media internet site. And according to what it says here, it says, for about 30 years or so, Holy Saturday has been celebrated as the Hour of the Mother. In accordance with the Byzantine tradition, the focus is on the figure of Mary, in whom on Holy Saturday we find both the pain of bereavement of her only beloved son and the hope of his resurrection. For this reason, Mary has been attributed to such titles as Our Lady of Sorrows, Our Lady of Dolors. And then it says, near the end of it here, it says, since the Marian year of 1987, the celebration of the Hour of the Mother has been taking place on Holy Saturday in the Roman Basilica of St. Mary Major. So I'm putting that out there because I know there must have a lot of listeners that are really smart, and I haven't been able to come up with a lot on this except for I did find another site that has this special theologian, I don't know his name, I don't know if it's Prosper Guéranger or someone along those lines, who writes about today as the time of the return of the apostles. They returned one by one to Our Lady, and of course she receiving them with such generosity and kindness and their deep contrition, but a kind of today, a time of observing, of course, the great visit of Jesus of the harrowing of hell, like you said, the beautiful, unbelievable goodness of the preaching of Jesus to the people of the Old Covenant. But there's also a time of like today where some people have honored Our Lady's kind of solitude and her faith day. I heard on one of Father John Harden's talks, he's a venerable John Harden, he said that Saturday is called Mary's Faith Day because of today, because she enshrined the perfect faith of the church when, unfortunately, everyone had kind of thought it was all over. So I'm just putting that out there, but I know you, I don't know very much, but I'm just telling you what the little that I can share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful, Anne. So, yeah, there's many traditional things in the church, like the rosary itself and the mysteries of the rosary is a tradition. And yeah, for sure, you know, this is part of Mary's sorrows, right? She had the sorrow of anticipating the passion and, you know, knowing what her son was heading towards. And then, of course, the day that it happened and she's standing there at the cross, like, can you even imagine how heartbroken she was to mm-hmm. not being able to reach up and help her son? He's right there. And then to bury him and, you know, be mourning him. Of course, today we talk a lot about the silence. But sure, if you have a particular focus on Mary and your spirituality, reflect on that. You know, this is really I think you could make an argument. This is the most intense time of sorrow for Mary mm-hmm. between the death and the resurrection. Mm-hmm. And so it's a time to be silent with her in a sense, you know, as we pray the rosary.
I love how you said that. Be silent with her in this intense moment, because and as you were sharing, I have seen so many short clips from various priests and bishops around the world saying the same thing, Anne, that this is a time to really focus on the Blessed Mother as well. And so, yeah, I love your gentle spirit about this, Anne. It shows your heart is so open to that and so wanting to really enter into this experience of deep sorrow, but also with great anticipation for the resurrection. So, Anne, an incredible call. Thank you so much for highlighting the Blessed Mother during this silence of Holy Saturday. Thank you, Anne. You were a first-time caller. Please call us again. Okay, real quickly, I sent from Catholic.com another article just to get everybody up to speed. If we're going to, in a couple weeks, talk about apparitions and private revelation and approved things and things that are worthy of belief, just to get everybody with a baseline understanding. And Catholic.com did a great job on the misconceptions about apparitions. So Tim is going to post it in the show notes just to get you going. It's a little kind of class here, catechism class here and understanding. So please maybe read that article so you're up to speed when we actually do the episode in a couple weeks. Okay, let's get to who is Annie. Annie from Kansas City, Missouri, listening on Catholic Radio Network on the app. Hi, Annie. Welcome.
Thank you, Debbie. You're awesome. I'm going to shorten mine just so other people can get in. We have, for Lent, I've been cleaning up my house, and we have two people coming into the faith tonight at my parish, and I thought a gal at work was going to convert. She had gone to Mass with a friend, was asking all these questions about the faith and everything, and I was praying for her. And then I gave her the catechism, and our priest tells people to read it twice, so question them, and then they can enter the faith. And she just handed it back to me and said, I'm not going to become Catholic. It was like a sword through my heart. And then that very Sunday, this high school senior sat next to me, and he said, I have atheistic parents. This is my first time here. I had extra missile. I was showing him through the Mass and everything. And I was just like, thank you, Lord. Like it hurt so much that the gal at work didn't want you. But look at these young, brave men with atheistic parents. His friend Charlie came. He had messed it up because of the time change. I want to encourage also Christopher to call into More to Life with the Pop Checks about his difficult marriage situation. They're awesome, Greg and Lisa Popcheck on Catholic Radio. And Catholic Radio has helped me so much in this very, very fruitful time to make significant changes in your life. I've put it on to help me complete exceedingly difficult, I won't go into the details, but exceedingly difficult tasks, very painful to me, and it's helped me through them, and I'm so grateful to all of you. Just as a closing note, people that feel like listening to everybody, how fruitful Lent is for them, if they feel like it hasn't, go to confession. Just use this day to make a good confession, and you'll have a blessed Easter. That can be your just look at St. Dismas. God took him in on the cross at the last. Everyone can still do that. You can still have a Lenten sacrifice and have a glorious Easter. And thank you all. Praise be our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.
Annie, that was amazing. Thank you so much for sharing with us. And I'm sure that EWTN was so happy that you made the comment about Catholic Radio. Yes, we're being produced by the Guadalupe Radio Network. Tim is our producer. We have a great show team, Carol and Lori, and it's being heard on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So thank you so much for acknowledging the presence of and the importance of Catholic Radio and how it serves and helps people in their spiritual journey. Okay, we are getting so close to the end of the show. I want to give Connie's a first time caller and has an interesting Connie, real quickly, you got a minute. You're listening on JP2 Catholic Radio right there in San Diego, California. Connie, your question. I know it's not completely on topic, but we'll add to the mailbag. Go right ahead.
Can't do it in a minute, but I got to echo what Annie said. I am very grateful to Catholic Radio. I truly would be lost without it. I was delivered from an oppression that had to do with a love spell. That's my story. A couple of weeks ago, you had a guy call in, and he said the words, love spell. And I thought, that's my story. That's it. And so maybe in a future show, I really want to hear what you and Adam have to say about it.
Okay, thank you so much, Connie. We appreciate it. I'm so glad we got to squeeze you in. You are our final caller today. Any quick comments on the love spell, Adam?
No, that's too deep for the moment. I just want to encourage people, you know, go to Mass. Go to Mass. If you need to go to confession, still go to Mass. You know, do not miss this Easter. No matter how your Lent is gone, no matter how your Holy Week is gone,
I agree.
Please just go. And engage in the resurrection.
Beautiful. Connie, we'll add that your comment and your story. And Connie, please call us again and actually stay listening to the Spirit World, because we'll be addressing all these things coming up. We have a really packed calendar of episodes coming up for the rest of spring and summer. We're very excited about that. So that'll do it. Again, folks, please, a wonderful time during this Holy Saturday to stand next to Our Lady during this time of silence and stillness, but great anticipation for when we get to say that beautiful A word. You know what I'm talking about, when we can say He is risen. And it is so amazing. Next week, we're going to be talking all about divine mercy. Okay, so start, if you didn't start your novena yesterday, start it today. Catch up with us. Okay, the divine mercy novena. We're going to be talking all about that. Jesus, we trust in you. You hear that great music. Adam and I, we don't love the end of the show, because we want to spend more time with our Spirit World family. But All good things have to come to an end for the moment, but we'll be back again, hopefully. Thank you so much to our producer, Tim, our show team, Carol and Lori. Thank you, Guadalupe Radio Network. Thank you, EWTN. For Adam Bly, I'm Debbie Giorgiani. Until next Saturday, have a beautiful and blessed week. We'll see you real soon.